Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. Hope you're all doing well. Hope the power comes back on, like, now. That'd be great. Stressing me out,
man. Oh, man.
We say hello now to Greg Wyshynski, who joins us on the program. Greg, how are you? I hope you have power up in New Jersey.
Yeah, no, we got a bunch of snow dumped on us, but luckily the power didn't go out. It's just that every car on the street in Brooklyn is looks like it got hit by an iceberg at this point. So we're going to be doing some digging out, but everything is copacetic here.
I'd rather be doing that than dealing with the ice, but here we are.
Oh, sure.
It is what it is. So the Predators are in Jersey to take on the Devils tonight. And these are two teams. I mean, I know two different conferences, but I almost look at them kind of in the same boat of trying to get into a rhythm and really make a run at it.
Oh, no, certainly. And, you know, the Devils have, started to make a couple of tweaks here and there. They trade Andre Palat, who had been sort of a disappointment for them, to the Islanders in the hopes of kind of changing up their roster a little bit. For them, it's probably been the same thing as with the Predators, where for every step forward, it feels like a giant stumble back, and they've just not been able to really find any momentum to climb up the standings. And it's been a real disappointing year. I mean, obviously losing Jack Hughes for the amount of time they lost him is impactful and one of the reasons they're in the pickle that they're in. But since he's come back, their offense has just been atrocious. they've just not been able to really generate much offensively with him back in the lineup. So, yeah, this is as everyone knows, as we get deeper in the year, they're all must-wins. But for Jersey in particular, based on the way they've been playing and coming off a loss against Winnipeg at home, this is as close to a must-win as you're going to see.
When you watch Nashville right now from afar, what do you see?
The poorest defensive team. it's kind of incredible. I looked at the numbers before we hopped on, and for the last month of the season, I think they're like fifth or sixth from the bottom as far as goals against. And some of that's the goaltending. I mean, the numbers for UC Soros in the last month haven't been stellar, but I think more than anything else, it's probably what's happening in front of them that's really been the culprit here. So, again, like, they've done some good things. They're a 500 team overall in the last month, but that's not going to get it done as far as chasing down that wild card spot. And, you know, you could point to the defensive deficiencies of the team as being a real culprit.
If you're a team like, you know, most of the teams in the West and, you know, a handful of teams in the East that I would say have a fighting chance to get in, but, you know, it's no guarantee. How do you look at the pre-Olympic break and then post-Olympic break and the trade deadline? Because, like I said, you got teams that are very much in the fight, but how much do you truly want to do, whether it's to sell off or to add, knowing that it really could be a crapshoot?
Well, I think a lot of these GMs are realists. Like, I saw Barry's comments the other day about how everything's still on the table despite this team only being like 4 points out of a playoff spot. And I think that's probably the right way to work it. Doug Armstrong of the St. Louis Blues, their GM, recently, you know, was lamenting what a bad season it's been for them. But he's the guy that I always think about around the trade deadline, because he's one of these realists in the league that's like, hey, our record is okay. We're chasing a playoff spot, but I don't think we're any good. And a lot of times he's been one of the guys to sell, even if his team is in reasonable position to try to make the playoffs. And I think that ultimately that's probably the right approach when it comes to the Predators, for example. You know, an O'Reilly trade should be on the table, even if they're only 4 points out of the playoffs, because of how much that could bolster the next phase of this team under Barry Trotz. And what the return could be, because there's so many teams right now looking for that exact kind of center.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski on the Chase and McJoe Show. Greg, Ryan O'Reilly's playing really good hockey right now, and if you're on that edge of, like, do we keep him down the playoff run, I think you'll get high return for him right now. If you're Barry Trotz, this is a, a dilemma that you probably don't want, right? Because if you trade him and you can get all these great assets back, but if you trade him at the same time, you're kind of sending a message like, well, we'll try harder next year. I mean, it's a catch-22, right?
It is in some ways, but in some ways it's not. I mean, when you look at the market for the kind of center that he is, the only other guy that could be available that might supersede him is Nazem Kadri of the Calgary Flames, who brings a bit of nastiness to the proceedings along with being a really good two-way player. He doesn't have the overall pedigree that Ryan O'Reilly does, but he's quite good. And his availability has been sort of in question. The latest thing is that he's maybe communicated that he wouldn't mind, that he would be open to a trade. But whether or not they actually want to move him has been a point of mystery when it comes to Calgary. So you're right. I mean, like when you've got an asset like Ryan O'Reilly and there aren't many other guys out there that could be the final piece of a puzzle for a team that's been searching for a second or third line center, I think you're doing your franchise wrong if you don't explore every avenue and if you're afraid to trade him. Because we know what this team is. It could be a team that makes the playoffs, and what that gets you is probably your teeth kicked in by Colorado. But ultimately, whatever championship contention is down the line for this team, it's probably not going to be with Ryan O'Reilly on the roster.
So I guess it'd be good for Trotz if the team makes a decision for him, right? If they go on a burner and win like seven straight and they're – I mean, then you're like, all right, we're going to keep him. We're feeling good. And I'm the type of guy, Ryan – I mean, Greg, if you make the playoffs, I don't care who you play because you're in the playoffs. Chase and I talk all the time about 2017 when the Preds barely got in and look at the run they had. I'm a guy that get me in the playoffs, anything can happen, get your butt kicked, fine, but you're in the playoffs.
Yeah, And look, there are certainly reasons why you want to be a playoff team. One is revenue. that's found money for a franchise to have at least two home games in the playoffs. Like, as good as Colorado is, they can't beat you in three. So you're going to get at least two home games,
right.
and that's a lot of money. The other thing is that the experience of the younger players in this roster getting exposed to playoff hockey can go a long way towards their maturation. And the third thing, and I don't always agree with this, but there are certainly people that I've talked to in the league that do believe this, is vibes. You want to go out feeling pretty good about your direction, and you want to go out feeling pretty good about, like, you know, what we can build on for next season. And a playoff berth can do that. You know, ultimately, like you said, like when you said the team might decide it for Barry, I thought you were going to say they'll fall flat on their face and then you trade O'Reilly and don't worry about it.
Right.
Like, which is the other way you could go. But again, if they rally to make the playoffs here in a very competitive Western Conference, then maybe you leave this season feeling better than you would if things did fall apart and they became a seller.
So do you agree that UC Saros is the guy? I mean, he's got to be playing an elite level for this hockey team to even sniff the playoffs?
Yeah, without question, especially with the way that the D has played in front of him this season. I think their best moments and when they were able to really rally and make this thing interesting was on the back of Saros playing as well as he did. So, you know, listen, it's not brain surgery. Like, you know, you're only going to be as good as your goaltending is. I think it's been the case for a lot of teams in this league, especially when you start to look at the roller coaster season of the Anaheim Ducks, for example. Like, they're only going to be as good as Lucas Dostal is. And maybe Seattle's in that situation too with their goaltending. So if he can kind of like level up a little bit and help fix some of the defensive deficiencies for this team, they're very much still in the hunt. I mean, it's only for one spot, and there's like four or five other teams that are jockeying for it. But by no means is the season going to be written off at this point, which is something I don't think a lot of us would have thought we would say it on December 1st.
Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN. Do you sense a major trade coming before the Olympic break? And could it involve a member of the New York Rangers?
Yeah, I mean, it's subtle, but when you stop playing a guy and you say it's for roster reasons, you tend to believe that a trade is going to happen. First of all, if they don't trade him before the Olympic break, then I don't think they're doing right by the guy. Like, you don't pull him out of the lineup and then not trade him before the Olympic break. And, you know, Panarin's a really interesting player insofar as where he wants to go and who could use him. Because the trick here is that he has trade protection, and he also has made it clear that he doesn't want to have to make two different decisions. He wants to just go to a team and sign an extension and be done with it because he is a free agent this summer. And so that narrows the market, obviously, for the Rangers pretty significantly. But it does leave some interesting teams on the table. San Jose, according to reports out of that that neck of the woods, is open to an extension for him and has the assets to acquire him. I've long heard that Carolina has been a fan of his. I don't know if he wants to end up in Raleigh. Detroit, where he's got two old friends and Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat there. I mean, like, there's a number of really interesting possibilities for him, but it really boils down to where he wants to spend the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years on a new contract. And the answer is Florida, and I don't think they're trading for him. Like, I don't think they've got the cap space to really do that at this point. But again, you know, they pulled rabbits out of their hat before, but that's kind of where he really wants to go, and I don't know if that's available to him.
Greg, Buffalo rode in town the other night, played the Predators, and I see now, you know, they have a legit shot of making the playoffs for the first time since 2011. And I ask that, what city would you like to see an NHL team make that run to the Stanley Cup final? They hadn't done it in a long time because, you know, we remember what happened here in 2017. It was just wonderful for Nashville. Would it be awesome for Buffalo just to have that same kind of run?
Well, first off, thank you for not pointing out that the New York Jets are the only team with a longer playoff
route
than the Buffalo Bills. I'll point that out for myself. You know, Buffalo would certainly be very high on that list only because it's been so long and because, as we've seen with the Bills, that fan base will make it an absolute party if they were a serious cup contender. I mean, we've not seen a Sabres jersey go through a flaming table, but I think we would if the Sabres really made a push. The other team I'd say, and this is a team that I think is more akin to what we saw with Nashville, is the Columbus Blue Jackets. This is a team that's had just zero playoff success outside of that big upset of Tampa that one year. And it's a market that I always felt was ready to pop. You know, like, it's a college town. There's a lot of enthusiasm for hockey and for that franchise. They've just not had any success to really foster it. And so that's a team I've always been excited. It's going to happen at some point where they're going to go on a run and we're going to see just a explosion of support from a bunch of, like, Ohio State kids coming to games and partying beforehand and everything. That'd be one team that I really want to see kind of have their moment at some point.
Yeah, I would agree. One non-hockey question for you. You brought up your New York Jets. The Titans have just introduced Robert Saleh as their next head coach. What were your thoughts on him as a head coach, and do you think he could be a good fit?
My thoughts on him was he was a great coordinator. Like, the defense for the Jets was unimpeachable when he was there, and I'm sure he'll do the same thing for the Titans. The question is whether or not he's kind of learned how to be a better head coach after his stint with the Jets. And the answer could be yes. I mean, it's just like the NHL where everybody needs to get fired once before they become a real good coach. The only guy that didn't have to do that was John Cooper, you know? And so, like, I'm optimistic. I'm happy to see him get another chance. The Jets are obviously an insane asylum, and anybody who escapes and does well, I'm happy for. That's why I'm backing Seattle in the Super Bowl, that and the fact that I hate the Patriots. And so, like, I'm hoping that this works out well for the Titans and for Robert Saleh.
Are you going to go see the Preds play while they're up in the metropolitan area of New York, New Jersey?
I am. I don't know, because, like, I'm actually headed to Tampa on Saturday for the Stadium Series game between them and Boston, the pirate-themed fun fest at Raymond James Stadium. That's my official return from paternity leave. And what a return it'll be to be in Tampa with an outdoor hockey game and the Gasparilla Pirate Festival happening at the same time. I can't even wrap my brain around what it's going to be like to be in that city this weekend.
Oh, nice. I've been to that thing, and just say it'd be better just if you stay in your hotel room for that while you're down there.
Well, I mean, that is part of the math for me right now is I got to figure out how to get from my hotel, which apparently is in the heart of the Pirate Festival, to the Stadium Series game. Maybe one of the boats can sail me there, the Jolly Roger flying in the air, and me on the mast as I point my way towards Raymond James Stadium.
Fantastic stuff as always, Greg. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime.
Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Appreciate Old National Bank for being on board with Greg. Robert Saleh still speaking to the media. We cannot carry that legally, so we'll have some clips and stuff whenever it is done. And hear some of that, but we'll read some quotes coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.